And I am really blessed to be able to bring to this pulpit Brother Jonathan Mackey, good friend. He's no stranger to any of us, and just a fine preacher. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what God has for me tonight. Amen. For you too. Glory to God. Would you welcome Brother Mackey?
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Nice to see all of you in the house of the Lord on this Sunday evening. And again, you know, it's Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. But I believe in Resurrection Mondays and Resurrection Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. Muhammad died, but he's still buried. You know that? You know that Buddha died and he's still buried? Confucius died and he's still buried. Joseph Smith died and he's still buried. Boy, there's a lot of famous people that have died and they're still buried. You know? But Jesus died. But he's not buried. Hallelujah. That's what makes the difference with what we have in here. Because there's life in here. And as individuals, he gives us life. And the church is not this building. The church is you and me. Amen. And if we're dead, the church is going to be dead. But if we have life, the church is going to have life. So it's good to be in an apostolic church tonight. And a church that still has Sunday night service. I say that a lot, but it's scriptural to have more church, not less church. And boy, I don't know where 2014 is going, but it's going pretty fast, you know. I had 9 services canceled in January and February because of the weather. You know, that's the most I've ever had canceled. And I mean, it was all up here in the north, and we're used to snow. You know, we really are. And I was at one church. And it was Sunday morning, and right during song service, it started snowing like crazy. So we had to cancel Sunday night. We made the decision before, you know, and the song leader was up there worshiping, and he said, you know, folks, I don't understand all this weather, but God snows. Yeah, and hallelujah. But it's nice to always stop by Apostolic Faith Church. I feel like I'm coming home. My father pastored his church. It was called Apostolic Faith Church. So, was with Brother Kylie this morning. Had a wonderful, wonderful service. We really did. And people were baptized in Jesus' name this morning. And altar call, good conviction. And, you know, people... It's good when God talks to us. You know that it really is. And so it's my desire to be a blessing to all of you tonight and appreciate our friendship with Brother and Sister Schumacher in this church. Sorry, Sister Schumacher had a serious fall. And but, you know, boy, things happen. You know, they really do. But thank God for the protecting hand. Amen of Jesus Christ. So open our Bibles while we stand to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 in our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning with verse 32. Hebrews 11:32 says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Let's pray, shall we? Again, Jesus, thank you for your presence that has come into this place. God, for how you've ministered already in song. And now, God, let your word feed and nourish us tonight. God, because you know all the circumstances in our life. And God, we ask you to help me to minister your word. Help us to receive it. Let us be strengthened, God, as a result of being in your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter in the Word of God. The faith chapter. Now, there's no scripture and verse that says this is the faith chapter. But individuals have just made it known that it is the faith chapter simply because verse 1 tells us what faith is. And then it says in verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. These famous, well-known men of God that would not be famous or well-known except they did indeed have faith in God. And the writer says in verse 32, I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. I tell you, you could preach from Genesis to Revelation on men of faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms. They did not need tanks, planes, missiles. Because of faith, kingdoms were subdued. Righteousness was wrought. Promises were obtained. The mouths of lions were stopped. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword because of faith. They were strong instead of weak. They were valiant instead of afraid in times of fight. All of this because of faith in God. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. There was resurrection from the dead because of faith in God. Starting at this point in verse 35, it could be called faith chapter 2, or the flip side of the coin of faith. Other individuals were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. So starting with faith chapter 2 and verse 35, others were tortured, but they were people of faith. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. None of us have ever been beaten in this house because of our relationship with God, scourged. We've never been put in prison or put in bonds because we're Christians. But this happened to other individuals, all right? But they are still listed in the faith chapter. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. We don't even know what cruel mockings are. years ago when I was raised in this, and I've said this various times in the pulpit, man, every time we had church, they would come and throw eggs on our doors. You know, go pull into the parking lot and honk their horn. Beep, beep, hallelujah, holy rollers. I remember pastoring a church one time, and there was a woman in the church that came in, and she repented, was baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was about a week later, I come to church, and it's Bible study night, and I just happened to be standing by the door. When she came in, I said, well, praise the Lord. She goes, oh, praise the Lord. I said, really? I said, what's happened? I said, oh, Brother Mackey, I don't know if I can make it with God or not. I said, why not? She said, I used to wear a lot of makeup, and now I don't wear makeup like I used to, and they call me a pale face at work today, and I just don't know if I can make it. I don't know if that's a cruel mocking or not, but I doubt it. I thought, wow, if that's what knocks you over, I don't know what a real cruel mocking is going to do. I remember one time, and I love this example, they put three dogs in our church. Three dogs. But they had more sense than most adults. They came right down the aisle to the altar, really. They don't even have brains, and they came to the altar. Right? And good thing they were friendly, because the ushers just rounded them up and took them out. But folks, we are not acquainted with this thus far. All right? Cruel mockings, scourgings, bonds, and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned. Stoned. You know that when they stoned people, they would dig a hole in the ground and they would put them in up to their waist and with their hands buried so they could not deflect any stones. It was just a horrible, horrific way to die. They were sawn asunder. They were cut in two pieces. Well, they must not have had faith in God. They were cut in two pieces, sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. People in verse 34 escaped the sword. People in verse 37 were killed with the sword. People in verse 34 did not have more faith. And people in verse 37 did not have less faith. They are both listed in the faith chapter. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. I guess they never heard of the health and wealth gospel. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Yeah. They weren't running hard shafter and mark suits. Sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. The world was not even worthy of these people running around in sheepskins and goatskins. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They just did not have retirement condominiums down on the shores of Florida, folks. But they are listed in the faith chapter. That is why it is such a serious mistake to associate spirituality and Christianity with prosperity. All right? God wants us to be good stewards with what he gives us. But I've preached in too many third world countries. They just never, preach in third world countries to send in your $1,000 seed offering and see what God does. Folks, when people have one pair of shoes and they walk to church and they don't have bus fare, they don't have shampoo, but they're people of faith. All right? Now, before Jesus comes, as in my own personal, feelings, I'm not sure whether we're going to be imprisoned. I doubt if we'll be running around in sheepskins and goatskins, because most of us have at least 5 or 6 suits. If one wears out, we can wear the next one. I don't know if we're going to be wandering about in dens and caves of the earth. But I do know there is one phrase in verse 37 that every one of us will be confronted with. Whether you're a brand new convert or if you've been in the church for 50 years, They were tempted. Tempted. Now, when you read the word temptation in the Bible, it has one of two meanings. One meaning is test and trial. And that, and this is the meaning in verse 37. Test and trial for the purpose of developing spiritual character that you would stand approved before God. How many want to stand approved before God? I really do. The other meaning of temptation in the Word of God, and it's not in verse 37, is the enticement to do evil. The enticement to do evil. They were tempted. Now, 14 years ago, before I moved from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, to DeWitt, Michigan, they had the most severe drought for that area, for that county. Normally, for April, May, June, and July, they would receive almost 14 inches of rain. But now it was the middle of the 4th of July, and we had received less than 4 inches of rain. And when that first began to happen, people thought, this is great, sun all the time. No wind, no rain, no storms, no dark clouds. Am I going to get a tan this summer or what? This is great. But by the 4th of July, when crops were dying and lawns were dying and there was a water shortage, people realized if there was sun all the time, the end result would be death. So now they were hoping the dark clouds would come and the wind would come and the storms would come, because if there was sun all the time, the end result would be death. And for Christians that want the sun of the blessings of God all the time, with no test, no trial, no temptation, you will never be what God wants us to be spiritually. We will never know whether we are people of faith or not. They were tempted. They were tempted. Now, let's turn to the book of James, the next book in the Bible, right after Hebrews. The book of James, chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, my brethren, again, this is written to the church, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, this does not mean the enticement to sin, but it's talking about trials, tests, you know, that will come into your life. Do you understand? They're not in the upper room now speaking with other tongues. Do you understand? It says in verse 1 that to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, scattered because of persecution. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, all right, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. One translation says it literally, my brethren, laugh hilariously when you have trouble. Boy, do I have a problem. Now, I admit to you, I have not reached this place of spiritual maturity in my own personal life. I have not. I cry, I moan, I complain, I call somebody, I gripe. But this is in the Bible as much as Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, there is a principle in the Word of God that is totally ignored naturally in the world today. And as a result, it affects us spiritually. And the principle is this, beginning in the book of Proverbs, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. He corrects. Now, you know, we are living in a day where psychologists say if you spank your child, it's going to make them violent. There's never been so much violence. The psychologists are wrong. I don't know. God just put a little bit of extra padding in a certain part of our body so we could endure a spanking. All the kids are gone. I would love to have see them raise their hands. How many of them know what a spanking is? My father loved me enough to give me a whipping when I needed it. A couple times he used his hand. A couple times he took off his belt. One time he went and got my grandfather's razor strap. And for you folks that don't know what a razor strap is, it's a piece of leather 2 times wider than a belt, longer than a belt, and thicker than a belt, that they would sharpen up their straight edge razor, and it hurts 5 times more than a belt. All right. But he did that not because he hated me, but because he loved me. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he disciplines, he corrects. In fact, the Bible says, if you spare the rod, you hate your child. You hate your child. Now, I was in Singapore one time with Sister Jenny Miller, and what a unique country it is, because it was such a disciplined country. It really was. You never saw graffiti on any of the walls. You know, all the world religions are there, and they all would get along. You never saw any gum on the sidewalk or on the subway. In fact, it was even hard to find chewing gum in Singapore, which was kind of nice because you never saw anyone chewing gum in church either. You know, there is power, power. Yeah. All right. Now, when I was in Singapore, because it's an island country, you had to spend $35,000 to have a permit to own a car. Even before you had the car, it cost you $35,000. And then all the cars were transported in there. All right. And so the average cost of a car in Singapore was $110,000. So as a result, you never saw any rust buckets running around. You never saw any cars with coat hangers holding on their muffler. All right. All right. They were all nice cars. And I don't know if you remember some years ago, this American kid took a can of spray paint and sprayed some of these cars. So the Singaporean government was going to discipline him and cane him with a piece of bamboo. I guarantee you that hurts more than a razor strap. All right. Yeah. So they were going to give him 6 whacks. They were going to cane this American kid. But our dear President Clinton stepped in and said, no, 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 no. He's just 13 or 12. He just made a mistake. Don't cane him. Don't give him 6 whacks. So the Singaporean government gave him 3 whacks with the cane. I still think they should have given 6 whacks. Okay, 3 to the kid, 1 to the mom, 1 to the dad, and 1 to the president. You know? I mean, really. I mean, do you understand? The president steps in. The president said, let me come over there. I'll hold the cane. But folks, that's the atmosphere we're living in. So as a result, when people have the concept, you know, God's my genie in the bottle. I'll just rub the bottle every now and then, and he's going to come and help me out, and I am a friend of God. You know, yes. And as soon as the discipline comes, some people say, what's happening to me? But whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Now, this principle is carried into the book of Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, because you know, the fact it's right after the faith chapter in chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, in fact, verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, we don't enjoy it, but if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. You don't even know who your father is, and you are not sons. Do you know what we are living in a day, folks, that there are so many kids that don't even know who their father is? In fact, the mother doesn't even know who the father is. What a horrible time we're living in. All right. And they're talking, and now they're suddenly realizing the impact on character and behavior when there's no father figure in a child's life. So therefore, folks, we have a natural father, and now we have a spiritual father. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. All right. Shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father with a capital F, referring to deity, the Father of spirits, and live? And this denotes an eternal life. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But God is going to do it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Because without holiness, no man is going to see God. So it's absolutely essential. Now let's turn to Psalm 119 in our Bibles. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 67. Psalm 119 and verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. One translation says, before I was afflicted, I was careless with my soul. Before I was afflicted, I was not obedient, I was disobedient. Before I was afflicted, I was not reverent, I was irreverent. I cannot begin to tell this group of people, in being raised in a pastor's home, as an assistant, as a pastor now, as an evangelist, how many people I've seen come through the doors of an apostolic church. Do you know why? Because they just wanted to come to church? No, they came because there was a cancer. There was a divorce. There was a death. There was a car accident. There was a stillborn baby. There was a crib death. There was something going on. Something happened that they realized, do you know what? Nothing in this world is going to help me right now and take away my grief or make a difference. So maybe God will help me. And you know what? And when we open up the altar, they come to the altar not because they want sin taken away or because they want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because they come and they're saying, you know, who can I go to? And they come and they begin to pour out their heart to God about the death of a loved one or the death of a baby or divorce is imminent. But you know what? In that humbled state where they need God, now suddenly, amen, they are aware, amen, of situations, sinful situations in their own life. And they repent of sins. They are baptized in Jesus' name. They are filled with the Holy Ghost. They are now born again. And now they're thankful that the test or the trial ever came into their life, because now they have eternal life. Before I was afflicted, I was careless. But now that the affliction came, I'm careful. I'm not irreverent, I'm reverent. Folks, I'm not proud, I'm humble. And then it says in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good when the trial comes, that I might learn something, all right, of the word of God. And there might be someone in this building tonight. You've never been to an altar. You've never humbled yourself. You've never bowed low. And I wonder what test, what trial, what, you know, what situation would have to come into your life, all right, before you turn to God. I heard the most interesting report about this professional football player from the St. Louis Cardinals, I can't remember his name, that suddenly quit playing football and he joined the Rangers and the Army, all right? And then he was killed by friendly fire, all right? And there were and it was one of six soldiers whose bullet might have killed this man by friendly fire. They were interviewing them, and four of them did not want to be interviewed. Two of them. two of them agreed to be interviewed. All right, and they were, and obviously, folks, by the tremor in their voice, they were both physically shaken that maybe I was the one who killed my own American comrade. And this one man said, I've lost my faith in God because this happened. He said, why did God allow this to happen? So he has totally turned away from God, and now he's an alcoholic, he's in counseling. The other man, and both of these men, had led to divorce in their families because of the test and because of what happened. And this one man totally left God too, but now he's reconciled with his wife again, and he's back in some kind of a church environment. But listen, you don't think, folks, when the world, you know, has the test and the trials that they face, folks, that it causes them, to go to alcohol, to leave God because they don't understand it. But I'm so glad, listen, you are so privileged to have an understanding of Almighty God. Folks, yeah, and folks, I'm going to say it probably again after I say it this time. You soon discover that you still got flat tires and mosquito bites after you get the Holy Ghost. You're not always jumping over three pews talking in tongues. Folks, I mean, you're not exempt from unemployment or cancer. Folks, or situations in their life. Amen. So you still get trials after you are filled with the Holy Ghost. But what do? Instead of running to the tavern and getting drunk one more time, instead of taking a little bit of drugs and getting high one more time, instead of putting our gun to our mouth and pulling the trigger, what do? We run to the rock one more time, and there's strength and there's victory and there's understanding in our God, because the Lord loves us. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. That is why, folks, it's important that you be listed in the faith chapter. Whether you are delivered from the sword or killed by the sword, whether you are healed or not healed, I'm going to have faith in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Job. To the book of Job, chapter 38. Job, chapter 38. And in Job 38, chapter 38, God is talking to Job about his creative powers. He laid the foundations of the earth. You know, I mean, it's just, what an awesome God. But then it says in verse 11, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Now, it's amazing the power of waves and the power of water. Just that tsunami that ripped through Indonesia, you know, a couple years ago. Folks, it's just amazing the force and the power of water. And for a while, Sister Mackie and I were preaching up in the state of Maine, and we were up there in the time of the year when they were having these nor'easters. And I mean, they had pictures of waves taller than the lighthouse down in Kenneport, Maine. Folks, and I thought, wow, you know, I mean, this is amazing. In fact, I wanted to not be protected from it. I wanted to be in it. So Sister Mac and I went and bought slickers and boots. And one night after church, we went down to the shore. I mean, there's a, you know, and it was dark and we had flashlights. I mean, and we were getting soaked and I could barely walk against the wind and the wave. And I'm thinking, I know the God who's in control of all of this. Now, I was born in Minnesota. You know, on the license plate of Minnesota, it says the land of 10,000 lakes. But we always had a little saying in Minnesota, 10,000 lakes and 50 fish. All right. Every time the men's group went fishing, they would go to Wisconsin and fish. All right. Oh, that's where we are. Right, okay, right here. I'm in so many places anymore. But the three times I've been fishing have always been exciting. The Amazon Basin, Ontario, Canada, and in the Pacific. All right. And so when we were preaching revival out in, you know, out in Seattle, Washington, and we were there for 2 weeks. We had a Monday and Tuesday rest day. So the pastor said, hey, Brother Mackey, do you want to go salmon? You and Sister Mackey want to go salmon fishing in the Pacific? And I said, really? I said, I'm not out here to fish, but I said, if I've never done that, but I don't know how to do it, but if you put the bait on the hook, put the hook in the water, put it at the right depth, when the salmon hits, I'll bring it in. So they said, sounds good. So he said, this man in my church, all right, has a 26-foot boat. And he said, so this man and myself and Sister Mackey and you will go out. All right, but we have to get up at 4 in the morning. I said, okay. I got up at 4 in the morning, and I was already convicted. Because I thought, when's the last time, God, I got up at 4 in the morning to pray? And now I'm getting up at 4 in the morning to fish? Because we had to go to Northport, because the fishing charters have all the equipment and the fish finders and the radar, and the charters are 100 feet long. All right. And so the charters left at 6:30. We left, followed them, and the Pacific Ocean was as smooth as glass. It was so nice. So we go out an hour and a half. It's just smooth sailing, and the charter stop, we stop, we throw our lines in the water, and we're catching some big sea bass, but we wanted to catch salmon. Salmon, all right? And so, but then, after maybe just less than an hour out there, I realized, folks, that the boat was rocking, you know, and that the charters would appear, and then they would disappear, and they would appear. And after 20 minutes of that, I lost all of my breakfast overboard. Okay. And it's not funny either. After another 20 minutes, I lost all of yesterday's nutrients overboard. So I go into the cabin of this little boat, and my head is buried in a green garbage bag because I am sick to the maximum. But then they started catching salmon. And I'm sick in the cabin, and out there, folks, they're just catching fish. And they got so busy catching fish, they didn't realize that the charters were long gone. I mean, Sister Mackey's on deck eating salami sandwiches and pickles and catching fish and didn't get sick once. But pretty soon it sounded like cannons, boom, boom, as thunder was bouncing off the Pacific. And now all four of us are huddled in this little cabin. All right. And now the waves are 10, 12, 15 feet. And the saint in the church, he would head the boat into the waves. It would pick us up and we'd drop down on the other side. And folks, and inside, folks, you had to hang on. Because if you didn't hang on when the boat dropped, your head was going to hit the ceiling of this little cabin. So I got my head in the garbage bag, holding my head at the same time. And I said, it's not funny. And I looked at this saint. His face is pure white, and sweat was just pouring off of his forehead and dripping off of his chin. And I was afraid. I admit to you, I was afraid. And he knew I was afraid. And he said, really, Brother Mackey, this boat cannot be swamped. It cannot be turned over. It's going to be all right. But he was not convincing me. Because I was saying, you look pretty scared yourself, dear saint of God. In fact, I remember praying. I said, Lord, I'm not a playboy preacher. I didn't ask to go fishing. They asked me to go fishing. Lord, I don't carry golf clubs with me or anything. You know that. Let me die preaching, but not out here. It took us an hour and a half to get out there. It took us 5.5 hours to get back to shore. Fighting through the storm every inch. Through the waves and the wind. And you can't even see. In fact, it was so severe that one of those charters capsized. And 8 lives were lost in that storm. 8 lives. In fact, I was so thankful to get my feet on ground. All right. In fact, I have a brass plaque hanging in my office as a result of this one day. If a man would learn to pray, let him go to sea. Because the storms are so severe. Sister Mackey's grandfather, who was an avid fisherman, full-blooded Ojibwe Indian, who lived in Tacoma, and he told Sister Mackey, his granddaughter, he said, really, Judy, I wish you had I had known, because I would have told you, don't go today, because he said, you don't turn your back on the Pacific. You got to respect it because of its force and its intensity. But yet God tells Job, all right, verse 11, and hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Do you understand? God is telling Job, I control the ocean. I control the waves. And I can say, that's enough now. No further. And I want you to know, when there's a storm in your life and a trial in your life, amen, and the waves are crashing and the wind is blowing, God will never give us anything greater than that which we are able to bear. And at the right time, he can say, that's enough now. Stop right there. No further. That's why when the disciples were asleep on the boat and the storm, and Jesus was asleep and the storm came, they said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Amen. And Jesus comes and says, peace, be still. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the wave obey his voice? But I want you to know, folks, when the wind is blowing and the rain is descending and the waves are crashing, you need to sing that old song. I know the maker of the wind and I know the maker of the storm. Hallelujah. And you're in good hands with God. I don't know about Allstate, but God. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of James again, right? The book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. Laugh hilariously when you have trouble. Verse 3, knowing this, we need to know there's one God. We need to know baptism in Jesus' name is the only valid baptism. We need to know that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. But we also need to know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. One translation says it this way in verse 3. Be assured and understand, all right, that the trial and proving of your faith is going to bring out endurance, steadfastness, and patience in you. Verse 4, let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that ye may be a people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. The church is not hothouse plants. Just keep us in the greenhouse. Keep the temperature at 72 degrees. Put the sprinkler system on every now and then. And right here I can live for God. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And we are not exempt. And when you hear these radio preachers, TV preachers talk about, you know, no more care, no more trouble. Apparently we have that because the Bible says, casting all of your care upon him, because he cares for you. So we must still have cares after we get the Holy Ghost. All right. We have a high priest who was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So apparently there's still some infirmities after we are baptized in Jesus' name. All right. Bear one another's burdens. You mean there's still burdens after we are born again? J.B. Phillips, his one translation, Letters to Young Churches, it's so amazing. He said when he was translating it, he said he just had tears and he trembled under the power of the Holy Ghost. But he said in verse 2 of James, he said, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. He said, realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you a quality of endurance. Verse 3, but let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed and you will find that you have become men of mature character, men of integrity with no weak spots. Because anyone can come through the doors of apostolic faith in good health, making good money, everything's perfect, and raise their hands and dance a little jig in the aisle. But when you come through the door in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a test, in the middle of a sickness, and you wonder what's going on, and you can still raise your hands and worship God. Amen. Now I know you are a man and a woman of faith. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Endurance. No weak spots. I can live for God anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance. Because you really don't know whether you have faith or not until the storm comes. Now, let's turn in our Bibles. All right, back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, because the faith chapter is still being written. It is. So they're talking about escaping the violence of fire, all right, the sword, wax valiant and fight. You talk about the spiritual warfare we are in. If the faith chapter was written right now in 2014, it would be written, some are healed of cancer and some die of cancer. It does mean that the individual that was healed of cancer had more faith. And the individual who died of cancer did not have, had they had less faith. Some are spared in car accidents, and some die in car accidents. It doesn't mean the person that was spared had more faith, and the person who died had less faith. Now, there's still a lot of things that I don't understand about divine healing. All right. Because even Paul had to leave his servant behind because he was sick. Paul, why don't you just lay hands on him and heal him? It is not always God's will to heal. Because if it was, no one would ever die. No one. Now, folks, believe it or not, I'm preaching you a faith message tonight. I really am. Because Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't, folks, God is so absolutely sovereign. He can do anything he wants, when he wants, how he wants to do it. God has no counselor. Do you understand that? And he doeth all things well. It takes faith to believe that. I don't know why Brother Haney passed away, why Brother Sism's son, why Brother Chambers' son passed away, while Brother Sism's first wife passed away, when the whole UPC is praying for them. When we pray with faith and it doesn't happen, we need to have the faith and trust that this was the will of God. And as a pastor and also as an evangelist, to go to hospitals, folks, with pastors, because there's someone in their church that is dying. And the family's been there now for 36 hours, you know, and they're exhausted. And folks, and there's stress and there's tension, you know, and some are believers and some are not believers. And some are in the church and some are not in the church, you know. And here's a person that is dying to have some preacher go in there and say, now, if you really had faith, you would just get up out of that bed right now. You talk about putting a knife in an open wound and twisting it just a little bit. Listen, you don't think they're already battling a fight of faith in their heart and mind and their spirit? They already are. I'll never forget preaching for a man. I was there for 4 weeks of revival, and every night that this woman was there, she would come up with prayer for her back. And I was so shocked that after church one night, after the second week of revival, the pastor had the guts to say, Brother Mackey, I just think that woman's faking. She just wants attention. I said, oh, brother, you don't know how much that hurts me to have you say that. And you need to be careful. You really do. Because Sister Mackey has a severe back problem. And just because a person doesn't have a cast on their arm, you know, people think it's so fakey. And I want you to know, I said, I have seen Sister Mackey. Just because she leaned over to get something out of the refrigerator, she could not walk for 8 days because of the pain. And I said, I know how severe a back problem is. He said, well, Brother Mackey, I just think she's faking. And I said, sir, don't say that to me again during this revival, please. I said, she's not. But anyway, so after that four-week revival, this pastor is up fixing his garage roof. He falls off the roof, breaks his leg, injures his hip. I see him at General Conference walking with a cane. I said, praise the Lord, brother. I said, man, what happened? He told me. And the first thing he said was, Brother Mackey, you don't know how many times I've repented that I ever said this. Said that about that woman. Because sometimes the pain is so great, I don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. He said, some days I can walk well, and other days I can hardly walk at all. And he says, I don't understand why God just doesn't take it away. But you know what? Listen, when there's someone going through a test and a trial, it's really holy ground to that individual. And we need to take off our shoes and be careful when we walk into that situation. In fact, God wanted to kill a couple of Job's counselors. And the one man that just went in there and sat. Amen. And encouraged. And that is why I'm so glad I have a high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The Bible says, weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Because, folks, it is holy ground and we need to be careful. And listen, faith isn't twisting God's arm. And I don't understand why some prayers are answered, some are not, some are healed, some are not. I don't know, and we're never going to know. Years ago, we used to sing the song, I will understand it better by and by. But years ago, folks, when this church started, people would stand and testify and said, I would rather God take me right now when I'm ready to meet him than have me live too long and fail God. Because what really counts is your relationship with God. That's why when the prophet went down to the potter's house, God said, I want you to be like clay in the potter's hands. In other words, folks, if you don't like what God's doing in your life, that's not the time to leave the church. Well, forget it, God. I don't like what's happening. No, listen, I know of individuals that when the storm comes, when the test comes, they stop praying. No, that's when you need to keep praying. Don't stop coming to church. Keep coming to church. Folks, don't stop reading the Bible. Keep reading the Bible, because I want to be listed in the faith chapter. Hallelujah. God wants us with no weak spots, men of endurance, where you and I, we can live for God anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance. And if he answers the way I want him to, thank you, Lord. If he doesn't, I'm still going to be faithful to God. Hallelujah. Now, the book of James, chapter 1 again. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Of course, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But then it says in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall. Let's all say shall. Yeah. Shall. No doubt, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Boy, after my dad gave me a little whipping, he hugged me. I hugged him. He said, I love you, son. I had to give my daughter a few little whippings now and then. But the most precious moment was afterwards, she would say, I love you, Dad. I love you, Rebecca. And that is why in the midst of whatever you might be going through, you can stand out there and raise your hands and say, I love you, God. I love you. Because, folks, we are living in a day where people want the prize, but they don't want to run the race. They want heaven, but they don't want holiness. All right? They want to be a disciple, but there's no cross-bearing. You know? Jesus didn't say, take up your cushion and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Really? No. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. That is why when I stand before God and he gives me a crown of life, I'm not going to say, yep, I did it. Yeah, oh boy. Yep, everyone look at me now. I did it. No. In Revelation, when the 24 elders took their crowns and cast it at his feet and bowed down and say, Lord, you alone are worthy of the honor and the glory. Yes, I've been bowing before God my entire life. And one more time, I'm going to bow before him and say, Lord, you alone are worthy. Lord, you're the one who permitted me to be born. You're the one who put natural breath in my lungs. You're the one who allowed me to be raised in an apostolic home, to be born again, and gave me spiritual breath. Amen in my lungs. God, you're the one who gave me the trial and the test so you could give me some endurance and some patience and some steadfastness and some strength. And God, there were even times when I didn't even know what was going to happen, folks. When I look back, I still came through it all right. Because you're in good hands with God. And he can speak to the storm and say, that's enough now. No further. Here shall the proud waves be stayed. Let's stand and let's raise our hands and love our Heavenly Father, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I believe that song was fitting because he lives. I can face tomorrow. You might be sitting out there nice and calm tonight, but I don't know what storm is in your heart and your spirit. I don't know what pain you're enduring. I do not know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going to be facing next week or next month. I have no idea. Years ago, we used to sing the song, Many Things About Tomorrow. I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And I encourage you to be like clay on the potter's wheel. Some people have a test and trial, and their only question is, when am I going to get out of this? But other people say, what am I going to get out of this? Now, please understand, not every test and trial and bad thing that happens to us comes from God. We have trial of place. Folks, I mean, just because we're in this world. I was born and raised in Duluth, Minnesota. My last winter in Duluth, Minnesota, before I went to Bible school, the high temperature for the month of January, the warmest was 20 degrees below zero. It got to 35 degrees below zero every day. My 52 Plymouth did not start for 30 days. So God says, live in Florida then, where they have hurricanes. And half the roofs have blue tarps on them, you know? Folks, heaven is better than this. You know what I'm saying? We have trial of place. Folks, really. That truck in front of you throws up a stone and hits your windshield. It cracks. That old devil. Don't blame the devil. Blame the contractor. It's his truck. Not everything comes from God and not everything comes from the devil. Right, all right. But there are other times God just allows things to happen. Do you know why? Because he wants to put something in us that was never there before. Because he lives, everybody, because of his resurrection. I can face today. I can face tomorrow and the day after. Folks, there's strength and victory and faith and trust at this altar tonight. Hallelujah! You can live for God anytime, anywhere. When you have faith. In my travels as an evangelist, I'm aware of so many needs anymore. Just in the past 2 weeks, I did a men's conference, you know, out in the state of New York, and three of the men came and says, their wives are dying, and they're young men with incurable diseases. And there's a powerful church out there that prays. And I'm aware of babies that are stillborn, crimson, young couples that cannot bear children. I don't know, folks. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Do you understand that? But there needs to be a group of people that love God. And regardless of circumstances, I'm going to be a man and a woman of faith. Hallelujah. So, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I'm not going to commit suicide or get drunk. Why don't we make our way to a Heavenly Father tonight? Because He lives, I can face.